Well, hello, everyone. It is February 3rd, 2025. This is a regular assembly meeting. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mark?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Jay.
James. Turn my hearing aids up. James is excused.
And Rob?
Here.
Okay, we have six members present today in the assembly chambers, and Mr. Valentine is excused. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the January 21st, 2025 assembly meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passage 6-0. Item 4, amendment and approval of today's meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion to move forward with the agenda as presented if there are no amendments.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we'll move forward with the agenda we have before us. There are no public hearings today. Item 6, no bid awards. That brings us to item 7, which is persons to be heard on items related to today's agenda. So if anybody in the audience has wants to testify under that item, step forward. Is there anyone Zooming or calling in?
There's no one.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no one wants to speak on items related to today's agenda. That brings us to item 8, items unrelated to today's agenda. Anyone interested in speaking to items not on today's agenda? Done, we'll move forward. Boards, commission, and committee reports, there are none. Item 10 on the agenda, consent agenda, no items there as well. And that brings us to item 11, report of other officers. And the first on the list today is Petersburg Medical Center CEO, Mr. Hofstetter.
Hi, good afternoon. It's me again. my only report is I submitted the slides from the work session. I want to thank the assembly for being present and engaging. And it was, I thought, a very good session. Appreciate the questions and the level of engagement quite a bit, so thank you. And I don't have much more to report. If you have more questions from the work session, please feel free to email me. Happy to get that information back. I'm heading to Juneau this week for the legislative fly-in, and we'll be advocating for some capital, so thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Hofstetter today? Thank you, Phil.
Thanks.
Have a good trip to Juneau.
Thank you.
Okay, next item under report of other officers. We're supposed to have a report from District Ranger Case, but she can't make it today. So we will move on to the report from the Petersburg Rod and Gun Club. Mr. Slavin.
Hi, I'm Jake Slavin. I'm representing the Rod and Gun Club today, and I've got a letter to read here. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on the activities and progress of the Petersburg Rod and Gun Club at the Petersburg Shooting Range. I hope this will become an annual tradition. We've hosted two National Rifle League events with clubs from across the country competing by shooting identical targets at the same distances. The scores are then submitted to a national database. Our club members have built new shooting benches. We will be replacing the stairs for the shooting shelter and potentially adding a handicap access ramp. Our next project will focus on replacing the boardwalk extending to the 200-yard line. We are now in the process of planning the logistics using grant funds provided by the state of Alaska, and we will apply for an NRA community range matching grant. Regular cleanup of the field is necessary, especially removing shot up pallets and aluminum cans. The safety berm has settled in some places, which was expected. We have completed a shelter for the pistol range funded by a grant from the NRA Foundation. In the future, we plan to install a concrete pad in the shelter to improve footing for shooters and simplify the cleanup of spent cartridges. The Devil Some Shooters now have a new Connex container to safely store their mobile trap machines, and they have added 100 yards of rock to expand the trap field. We have held an adult shotgun league open to the public twice a month throughout the year, weather and daylight permitting. We have removed the old scoring stands and plan to install 2 light poles with LED field lights to extend practice hours and encourage greater community involvement. Public Works has removed the old outhouse and filled the vault with rock, and they have moved the Petersburg shooting range sign close to the highway for better visibility. This was all done at my request. Homeport Electronics has installed new security cameras thanks to a project valued at $8,000, funded by club members and matched by Petersburg Mental Health. We are currently in discussions with PIA about leveling up a new space in front of the clubhouse to create a rest area with a picnic table and potentially a fire pit. This would make this facility more user-friendly for families and improve accessibility, especially for the elderly, disabled, and handicapped visitors. Our next major project is to rebuild the aging clubhouse. We plan to secure grant funds related to youth education, training and safety in hunting, sport fishing, and outdoor activities. We're exploring grants from Pittman Robertson Fund and the Alaska Fish and Game Hunter Safety Program to support this initiative. Our annual outdoor show held at the Moose Lodge on September 7th and the 4th of July membership drive were both successful. We currently have 75 members. Our annual range cleanup, supported by the Sanitation Department, helps us maintain the range. Additionally, we have started a new partnership with the State Department of Transportation to clean the highway from mile 13 through mile 15. We plan to host a hunter safety education class every other year or annually, depending on interest. Additionally, we plan to host a woman's defensive handgun training class in partnership with Cheryl Stickler from Haynes. She is a certified instructor who specializes in firearm training for women. Our club has discussed other events and fundraisers to be held in the future. However, more community and club member involvement and support are required to have a successful range with so much to offer. The U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Coast Guard, Alaska State Troopers, and Petersburg Police Department also use this range for training purposes. For the year 2025, the Rod and Gun Club would like to request the following from the borough. Installation of a street light on the power pole next to the outhouse to illuminate the public parking lot and supply power at no cost to the club. Please provide a few loads of rock to assist with our efforts to achieve ADA compliance. Finally, we'd like to express our sincere gratitude to all our sponsors, the borough manager and the public work directors, both past and present, for their continued support and due diligence in assisting us with matters related to the Petersburg shooting range. Thank you for your time and consideration of these requests. The Rod and Gun Club is committed to maintaining and improving this public shooting range for the benefit of the entire community, and we look forward to continuing to work together. To become a member of the Rod and Gun Club or have a conversation at the range, please contact the president of the Petersburg Rod and Gun Club, Jake Slavin, 907-518-4025. The reason I asked for some of these requests is we're trying to keep this public shooting range clean and easy to access for all of the public. And that parking lot out there is, of course, very dark at night. And we did just dump a lot of money into those security cameras that, of course, only work during daylight hours. And one of my priorities is trying to level up some of the ground out there and making it so some of our elderly folks can make it through to the rifle range area without getting tripped up. And with your help and support, I think we could get that done. So thank you.
For your report today, Mr. Slavin, is there any questions?
I have a question for him.
Member Newman.
In the past, you've expressed some of your ideas about having a watch person out there. Maybe you could speak to that?
Yeah, so there's where one of the Connex containers is out there, that pad was put in for a RV trailer site to have a watchman on hand. And that is because the vandalism that we've experienced out there in the past, and just to keep the place clean, you know, mow the grass and fix the broken stairs and whatnot. And so that's one thing that we're going to look forward to in the future. We just need to get all on the same page about that. And if these cameras will help out a lot to to abate the vandalism, but having somebody out there to help keep it clean and fix some broken stuff, that'd help out a lot in my mind.
Is that a paid position or is that a volunteer position?
Well, our club has discussed that as a voluntary position, same as RV parks around the nation that have a host that would just post up there. And so it'd be a non-paid position, a volunteer position, and it would be a certain criteria that has to be met by the club.
Questions of Mr. Slavin? Have you approached the borough officially, the Rod and Gun Club? Have they submitted a letter requesting the lighting and the rock that you're requesting?
Not officially, no. We've had discussions, but not in official capacity.
Letter or email might not hurt. So yeah, but this now it's on our radar, so we could talk to the manager about it as well.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, that brings us to the mayor's report. First item on the mayor's report today, a town hall meeting regarding the future of tourism in Petersburg. I've asked for a meeting to be held February 10th, 2025 from 6 to 8. It'll be in the assembly chambers. The public is encouraged to attend. Written comments may be submitted to the assembly. Please see the public service announcement attached to this report for more information. And I just thought it was important for, you know, to get input from the public on what their vision is, what they would like to see the future of tourism for Petersburg. You heard all our neighboring communities, you know, pushing back. There's too much. So, you know, I just thought it would be interesting to see what the residents of Petersburg wanted to do, especially with in light of the American Cruise Lines, you know, still negotiating with the borough to come and build a dock in Petersburg. And so that'll all be part of the discussion. So that is 6 p.m. February 10th. And from that information we gather, potentially we will send out a survey to all the box holders so we can get cover more people. You know, that's what I'd like to see. More input, the better. Next item is Unrecognized Southeast Alaska Native Communities Recognition and Compensation Act. This has been before us before. The Southeast Alaska Landless Native issue will be introduced again in Congress just this session at some time. It hasn't been yet. This time it will be introduced by Alaska Representative Begich. And so since the bill has not been submitted yet, don't know if the language is going to change. What we've heard is it's pretty much the same bill as the last one that was submitted, but once we see the language, I guess we could decide if we're going to address it as an assembly like we have in the past. The borough is seeking letters of interest from citizens who wish to serve the community by filling a vacant seat on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board until the October 2025 municipal election. These letters may be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the borough offices located at 12 South Nordic Drive by sending to Box 329 or by emailing to dthompson@petersburgak.gov. And I think the only vacant seat now is Parks and Recreation. So if you're interested, please submit your name. Next item, assembly work session with the school board. We just had one last week with the hospital board. And that's by charter. We're supposed to do it annually. And so we're having our annual meeting with the school board. And that work session will be in the assembly chambers on Thursday, February 6th, 2025 at 6 p.m. Borough Charter Section 804 states the public work session must be held at least once a year. So we're following the charter. We will be talking about financial planning, capital improvement needs, comprehensive plans for education, and other matters of concern. Southeast Conference Mid-Session Summit. Assemblymember Valentine will be attending the Mid-Session Summit in Juneau, February 11th through the 13th. And there's also Alaska Municipal League Winter Legislative Conference. And myself and Assemblymember Lynn will be attending that in Juneau. And so that conference is February 18th through the 20th. And we will be visiting with our legislators and other people that we have made arrangements with. So that's it for the mayor's report. Unless there are any questions, we'll move on to the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. Parks and Recreation Rainforest Survival Series will have the Office of Boating Safety visit Petersburg to host a paddle safety instructor course for Parks and Rec staff, as well as host a paddling safety course for the public on Saturday, February 8th from 3 to 6. Register with Parks and Rec. Only 10 spots are available, ages 14 and up, all skill levels. Parks and Rec hosted our partner, Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, AMSI, to instruct a drill conductor course on Saturday, February 1st. It was a safety training course for commercial fishermen for free and non-commercial fishermen for a fee. See AMSI's website for details on any upcoming classes or contact Stephanie Payne for more information. Maryam Mendova, I cannot say that, of Alaska Trails will speak at the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce annual banquet on February 15th. Maryam will speak about the economic impact that trails can make for our communities in Alaska and share an update about the Alaska Long Trail. Tickets are $60 and are available at Lee's Clothing. Join Teresa Craig in an afternoon aquatic strength training class on Mondays and Wednesdays from 1:15 to 2:15, membership scan or daily use fee required. Skate nights are booming every Friday night with a themed night the last Friday of the month. This week is Western theme. Only a few of the dive-in movie nights are left in the season. Seems like they just started, but great opportunity to have some good, warm family fun. Stephanie has begun teaching adult swim lessons again. If you know of anyone who would like to join, have them contact her. Scott will be organizing youth swim lessons soon. If anybody in your crew needs American Red Cross first aid, CPR, AED certification, please get in touch with Stephanie to get one scheduled. We already have Glow and Liz's crews on the list. The first apartment to be renovated in elderly housing is nearing the end of the demolition phase, and vendors have been contacted regarding supplies necessary to outfit the unit. As units become vacant, we're trying to use that opportunity to go in and replace carpet, paint, change out cabinets, bathrooms, things that haven't been done in a long time. We do have a waiting list, so it's one of those we have to do in a hurry. But so we're using this first one as kind of an example of how do we organize it well. But we'll try to get to them all eventually. Annual apartment inspections are being scheduled in elderly housing in preparation for our upcoming REAC inspection. And preliminary work is underway for the repair of the flooring in elderly housing, commercial kitchen, cooler, freezer area. Harbor Department reminds their permanent stall holders to return their updated stall contracts that were sent out at the end of the year. And reminder to boat owners, the annual drive-down permits are available. Harbor has posted the dock roof project adjacent to the harbor office in the pilot, and bid documents are available on the borough's website or at the harbor office. Harbor encourages interested parties to reach out if there are any questions. Power and Light's new Digger Derrick truck was received, inspected, and placed in service. And we had a fire at a home adjacent to the public works yard and close to our motor pool fueling station. Unfortunately, it did not spread to our site, thanks to the volunteer fire department for their quick response to this incident. Pump Station 4 project is officially underway. Contractor Rockin' Road has been issued a notice to proceed and has indicated that construction should begin in March or early April. Pumps for the project have been ordered by the borough through Alaska Pump and Supply. We're still trying to figure out if our various grants and loans will be affected by the most recent presidential executive order that paused federal funding and then canceled the executive order. Appears to be good news, but we just have to be a little patient with the process. Power and Light is working through requests from FERC to perform additional seismic hazard analysis on the Crystal Lake Dam. This is stemming from a footnote on the 2018 Part 12D safety inspection, and we can't seem to get to a conclusion that satisfies FERC. Next steps include a more detailed type of seismic hazard analysis, while Power and Light is still waiting for the FERC comments on the dam stability analysis that was submitted to the agency in the summer of 2023. And our first single-digit temperatures of the winter we've been experiencing. The department is coordinating with Wrangell Light and Power and SEPA to ensure that if SEPA generation cannot meet the system loads, diesel support will be provided during periods of peak power usage. And that is it on my report.
Questions of the manager on his report today? Seeing none, thank you, Manager Giesbrecht. That brings us to item 14, unfinished business. There's no items there today. New business, item 15. First item there is ordinance 2025-01. This is an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot 13B, plot number 2008-15, from residential to single family residential. This was the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Committee. So I'd entertain a motion to pass this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Member Marsh.
Yes, thank you. I guess at the outset, it seems logical to rezone this. But on the other hand, I do like the larger lots that seem to be consistent with the Sandy Beach area. I know down by the park, the parcels, maybe it's my imagination or not, seem to be smaller. And I know the one in question is across the road from what exists presently. But are we, in essence, shooting ourselves in the foot to make these smaller in size? I think 8,000 square feet is the one that they would be adjusted to from 1 acre. I'm wondering what the Assembly's thought is on that, because that's significant.
We can ask Mrs. Cabrera.
Through the mayor, Assemblymember Marsh, it doesn't require subdivision to 8,000 square feet. It just allows someone to subdivide down to that number. So if someone wanted to subdivide it right now, the most you could do would be two lots because they need to be minimum 1 acre. If we rezone to single family, you could subdivide, you could make two lots, you could make, well, you could keep it as one lot, you could do two lots, you could do three lots, you could probably get to four lots. So it just adds more flexibility to that, but it doesn't require anyone to go to 8,000 square feet. And to your point, yeah, a lot of the lots in that area are larger, so I could see where someone would probably go higher than 8,000, you know, if they were gonna subdivide there.
Any other discussion? Member Stan Greger?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. When the Assembly approved this originally, I remember our dialogue around that, and I wanna thank the Planning Commission for holding a public hearing, again, at our direction to get it back to us here. My logic is the same as it was then. That is more single family is more consistent with that residential neighborhood than rural residential. I'll definitely be voting yes on it today. It is the first reading. Obviously, the second reading is the public hearing. If we hear any more compelling arguments against, I'd definitely be willing to listen to it at the public hearing. But for today, I will be voting yes. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for your input today. Any other discussion on this ordinance? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2025-01 passes unanimously with a 6-0 vote in its first reading. That brings us to the next item under new business. That's ordinance 2025-02. This is an ordinance amending the fiscal year 2025 budget for known changes. If approved in three readings, this ordinance will add a Homeland Security cyber grant of $26,736 to the budget. Correct the motor pool payroll budget with an increase of $82,595. Increase power and lights inventory budget by $45,000 to replenish exhausted power poles and line extension supplies. 4, increase power and lights heat pump rebate program budget by $15,000 to support customers' rebate applications to the end of this fiscal year, and increase motor pool's travel training budget by $8,697 for CDL licensing, which requires travel. So would I entertain a motion to approve the ordinance 2501 on its first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Newman, seconded by Member Lynn. Discussion. Member Lynn.
I just have a question for the manager on that. I support this, but on the heat pump rebate program, the Southeast Conference got, I don't remember, a significant amount of money for the heat pump rebate and programs. My question that was part of that is, and you probably don't know the answer, did with the pullback of the grants and so forth, did that money get pulled? It would be.
I don't know. Through the mayor, I don't know. All of the grants, you know, just in general, talking to the administration's move, were first canceled. Then there was a lot of discussion. There was a not only a court case, but a memo that came from OMB saying, no, it's, you know, everything can go forward. But then there, we got notified very recently that there, many of them are still on hold. So honestly, I don't know how to answer your question, sir. I think we're probably looking at several more weeks to have maybe better information, or it might even be the full 90 days before we know if grants like the Southeast Conference heat pump or some of the others that we talked about, if they're actually going forward. I'm assuming they are. I'm hearing good news about that. It's just a matter of us having to be patient.
Thank you. Yeah, if that money would significantly help at least the lower income families around Petersburg to make that conversion. Thank you.
I believe the amount Southeast Conference got to spread around rural communities was $30 million, which is a lot of money. I have one question under this supplemental budget, and it's the motor pool payroll budget with an increase of $82,595. Did we finally hire another mechanic, or what's why the that's a pretty significant increase?
Well, yeah, you know, it does pay for the other mechanic, but what happened is, well, there's a couple things that happened. It was in the first reading of the budget last spring, and you approved it with the $82,000 in there. And then when, in the second reading of the budget, there were a bunch of payroll expenses moved around because you voted to approve the assistant utility or public works director. So, you know, we took Carl, removed him from water, wastewater, and, you know, made it. And I think your position and Chris's is covered over five different departments. And somehow it got changed, and it shouldn't have. And actually, it also, on top of this, there was a corrupted Excel file. You know, each year when we do payroll budgets, when Human Resources does them, they're, you copied last year's and reuse it. Well, I think we've reused it too many times, and the total wasn't totally in the correct number, even though the formula looked correct. So anyway, that's what happened, and we're just making it right again.
Okay, that answers my question.
Sorry.
Any other discussion on this ordinance? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2025-02 passes unanimously with a 6-0 vote. Item C, under new business today, Scow Bay 65% design professional services contract with PND. Community and Economic Development Director Cabrera requests approval to enter into a professional services contract with PND Engineers Incorporated for task number 6 of their September 6, 2024 design proposal. 65% design development for an amount not to exceed $220,000. This expense is accounted for in the fiscal year 2025 budget. I'd entertain a motion to move this forward.
Second.
Motion made by Member Marsh, seconded by Member Schwartz. Any discussion? Member Lynn?
Just a comment on this, and I support this, and we have the money to go ahead with it. But in the last page of the document that was sent out to us, it talks about the ramp will be designed to be compatible with a Conolift 100T self-propelled hydraulic trailer. And I had a question for Liz on that that we were going back and forth on. And I was asking why we were designing for a particular trailer rather than to design for the concept of a certain weighted trailer. And Liz came back to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that said that as we go through the process of developing the final plans, that it'll probably move towards the concept of certain weights and sizes, so that it won't be looking at one particular trailer, rather a series of trailers. Did I get that right, Liz?
Yeah, through the mayor, Assemblymember Lynn, the reason we just use that as an example is because it's really large, and at the time we were developing these plans, it was the largest trailer commercially available, and so that's what we were designing around. Now that's been a few years. As we move forward into this next design phase, we'll have a chance to have public comment. If users out there are seeing something different that they want us to design for, I could see maybe designing the ramp a little bit wider, so that if there is something that comes along that would work better, you know, we have a plan for it. But at the time that was designed, like I said, it was the largest trailer commercially available to purchase, so.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that information. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move forward with the 65% design. That's exciting. Item D under new business, Petersburg Police Department K-9 unit proposal. Petersburg Police Department is requesting approval to acquire a K-9 unit to enhance their department. Please see the K-9 unit proposal, projected budget, training, and more information attached to this meeting packet. I'd entertain a motion to approve this request.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Member Newman, seconded by Member Stanton-Gregor, I believe. Discussion. Member Marsh.
Thank you. I myself am in favor of acquiring a K-9 unit. However, I do have concerns about the program, and I appreciate Chief Kerr's homework and research and providing numbers and budgets and how the proposal would be, but $14,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money. But in a tight financial situation, I don't know that now is the time to do it. And if I may toss out the question, is there a sense of urgency that we act now rather than perhaps if there were options for grant funding, that we could handle this on an annual basis? I don't know if Chief Kerr might have that answer, or if it's appropriate to ask the question. But that's kind of where I am, and I think, well, I know one of the oppositions to this is, well, the officers aren't getting enough paid as it is, and if you take $14,000 annually and divide it among our officers, they're going to get a little over $1,000 extra a year. And I don't know if that would be so allocated, but that would be a question I would have is do we have to act now, or is this something that we could chew on?
Any other?
Yeah, I have to admit, I've kind of come full circle on this. I initially had the same concerns about the financial aspect of it. You know, in light of, you know, we don't pay our employees enough and the political climate that we're in right now. And then after further discussion with the chief and a couple of the officers and other community members, it seems like the financial aspect of it, in my mind, has been largely addressed. I know the chief had talked about a HIDA grant for ongoing annual training for the dog. And then when I talked to some community members about the rise in meth and fentanyl in our community, especially with the lethality of fentanyl. In last year, I guess there were 3 drug-related deaths in our community. I feel like this is, I'm weighing it for the money part of it versus being proactive for drug enforcement in our community, and I feel like it's a justified expense, and I'm going to vote in support of this.
Member Steinbrenner.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. So I was looking at this issue and some of the historical context. I know there was a canine unit used in the 90s, and history isn't always accurate in terms of how people recounted, so I kind of set that aside, trying not to compare the 90s till now. I was looking at it from 2 different perspectives. One from a, policy perspective and or on the ground, what would this look like, or merit-based. You know, we had received a couple letters, one from the chief and one from Ayres, both with conflicting opinions on it. So from the merit-based, do we need this or this would be good for our community, was one lens I was looking through. And I feel pretty good about it from a merit-based thing. Then I just step back and look at it from the financial aspect, which 14K isn't a ton. Ongoing upkeep, maintenance, training, it's noteworthy. But then I was looking at the broader budgetary needs, and not just salaries of employees, but with uncertainty, significant uncertainty from a state level, as Governor Dunleavy winds down his term. And then I would say, this is a subjective comment, but even more uncertainty on a federal level, one that jumped out at me is secure rural schools. These are major dollar item uncertainties right now for our community across all departments. And then talking with the borough manager, and Steve, as always, cut me off if I'm missing or remembering something incorrectly. We're at a place right now where, depending how money does come down, there is a potential we could have to reduce employment in the borough, meaning lose positions. Hopefully not. I don't want to sell fear. That's not my business. So when I came down to it for now, I tend to lean towards Member Marsh and being willing to revisit this in the future, but I cannot now because all other details aside, if we're talking about starting a new program, there will always be some unforeseen costs. That's just a thing. It's not unique to this program. But especially in our next year's budget cycle, if it came down to it with this new program with a certain level of risk, I would say mild, but certain level of risk, would I rather have that, or would I rather see the borough potentially lose a half-time or full-time employee? Again, I'm not trying to sell fear. I hope it doesn't come down to that. But as we're looking a year out, I would rather look out for all the employees of the borough from a risk management perspective in the short run. So although I'd be willing to entertain it at some point in the future, I will be voting no on it today for those reasons. Thank you.
Berlin.
This is, as I look at it, this is how it comes out of the general fund. And when we look at the next couple of years, the general fund's one that's going to really be, possibly in a world hurt from both the federal and the state level. And so I was looking at it somewhat similar to Member Stanton Gregor from the standpoint is, if I added this, then I had to give something else. What would I give up? Well, I guess I would like to delay and not, from my perspective, I'm not in favor of it right now. Maybe in the future, yes. But I would rather be able to not have to make a decision of whether we cut hours at Park and Rec or do other things rather than to add something here that I would have to go back and look at it again. So at this point, my vote has to be no. Thank you.
Any other input? Member Marsh.
Would it be appropriate if Chief Kerr talked a little bit more about the financing on that? I know the letter was pretty descriptive, and talked about, the money that's already been for indictments and interdiction and things like that, and the extra $5,000 is still in the holding. But I wonder if that might be appropriate.
Would you mind, Chief Kerr, giving us an explanation of the funding for this project if it goes forward? I mean, it's in the letter in our packet, but...
I don't mind at all.
If there's anybody listening, they'll get it firsthand.
Okay, so funding I knew was going to be a big issue. And so that's actually why we proposed it now. The reason why is departments are developing their budgets for this next year. And also, we're also looking at our current budgets as well. And so one of the things when we're looking at our budget is one of the big costs for this is a vehicle. And this year, this coming up budget year, the PD has a vehicle up for replacement in this current budget year. So we could use that vehicle replacement, the funding for the vehicle replacement through motor pool to get a 2/3 canine, 1/3 prisoner compartment. So we're using that money through motor pool to help cover vehicle costs because we have one up for replacement next budget year. So that's why it's a good timing for it. And then we also have we were going through evidence and available funds seized from narcotics interdiction and forfeitures is currently $24,354.32. And we also have another roughly, what was it, 4,000?
5,237.
In that current fund, there's another 4,000. So we could actually have about $28,000 available to contribute to it. And so the way I look at it is drug dealers took advantage of our community. We may as well use their money to help fund this thing. And so by reinvesting these seized funds, the drug dealers are buying the canine for the community. And with that additional funds through that other account, we'll be funding the basic handlers course and narcotics interdiction course in full. I can't think of a better way to reinvest these funds into the Petersburg community. The remaining cost would be about $26,000, $26,500. And coming towards the end of the budget time, that's why this is a good timing for it from our perspective, is now I'm not asking you guys for that additional $26,000. I'm just asking to move funds around from other accounts that we have to cover that. And the reason why it's you guys is because the annual cost, because this would be a new program. It roughly costs $14,200 is what we came up with. And that is without HIDA contributions. HIDA is high intensity drug trafficking area. And so we fall in that. And when I reached out to them about funding for the canine, a grant funding for it, they had contributed funds to Juno's program years ago. And part of Juno's program is they were supposed to be traveling around to Southeast communities and providing that assistance. We all know how big cities get. They get busy. Their needs, they have a need for it up there. And so then I also asked CCAD, and CCAD's interested in contributing towards the training. So that $14,200 is the high number. And then if we, both of them expressed interest in contributing to it once the program started. They won't contribute to start the program, but they're interested in contributing after. They wouldn't tell me dollar amounts or commit to anything. It's their way of seeing if it works out, I guess. And then as far as the, I had also talked, one of the big questions that came up during the Public Safety Advisory Board was insurance. They wanted me to reach out to the insurance company. So I spoke to the insurance, spoke with Sue Erickson, who reviewed our policy and inquired about it. And the borough's current insurance would cover this without making it go up. And so basically, if you take all those reasons, that's why it's to you guys right now. Because this is, in our eyes, the perfect time. Because we're developing budgets. We have this other availability. Because if we were to do it later on, then we'd be wasting money by ripping out a prisoner compartment, adding in a canine compartment, so it'd add more vehicle costs. I mean, we might have a vehicle later on that we could reappropriate, but since we have this pending one, it was the perfect timing. And the way our budget's sitting right now, we could absorb the $26,000 just by moving it around. So basically looking at the $14,200 without contributions from anywhere else. So that's why it's to you guys, if that helps you guys.
Okay, Member Marsh.
Thank you. I appreciate you mentioning that CCAD and HIDA perhaps are contributors to the program once it's in place. So it's kind of like on good faith, they will then contribute.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm, you know, like the other assembly members have spoke today about the budget concerns and who knows what's going to happen with secure rural schools. And if that, we'll have this discussion on the 6th with the school board. We're going to have a hard time funding the school. So I hate to spend any more money. I would hate to hire somebody. I guess we're not hiring a new person, but the training and the dog and the expenses that go with the dog, it's going to definitely make things more expensive. Potentially, we have funding from other sources, CCAD and the Click and Ida, but how can we be assured that we're going to get that help from them financially? So, and another question I have, using some of the money that was confiscated, I guess, from drug seizures, how long did it take to build up that fund, Chief? I mean, has that been ongoing? Is it a decade, 5 years? I mean,
I don't know. I'd have to go case by case.
And okay, I'm just kind of
seizure
curious.
By seizure. I'm not sure. But the thing is, though, is with the canine, is so when you talk to HIDA, it's not Clink and HIDA. It's HIDA, high intensity drug trafficking area. Yeah, so it's not Clink and HIDA. But as far as seizures work, like every time we participate in a seizure of some sort, whether it say it was a money load, you would get a certain percentage of it back to your department. So if we did have the dog in place and say we go up to postal, we can do postal sorts up out of Anchorage and wherever else they request it, we could assist with those. So you're not just helping Petersburg, you're helping all Southeast with mail sorts and everything else. And so if you were to get seizures from that, you would also be gaining revenue. And like I said, it's a case-by-case basis on how much you get, but everyone that participates in that is entitled to a percentage.
I'd hate to think of that as a revenue stream for supporting a program like this, but it'd be better to get it off the street than the, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things too with this is, I mean, one of our biggest complaints here in town is they complain about the drug houses and people going to the houses and people leaving. And so this would help us address that more directly. I mean, you have a known person, known drug user going to a known drug house, and instead of relying on the officer to develop probable cause, you can have the dog do it. I mean, you can run the dog on a vehicle to develop the probable cause to get search warrants for the house. So, I mean, the way we're not looking to, no one wants, drug users are a victim is the way I look at this thing. I mean, it's a disease, it's an addiction, it causes mental health problems, it causes everything else. So the more we can do for our community, the better is the way I look at it. And if we're targeting the drug dealers, we're getting the people that are bringing this stuff into our town, hurting our loved ones and family. So
it does seem like a worthy project, but I'm kind of torn whether to support it or not at this time until we get farther into our budget process and see what money's coming to. So thanks for your clarification on the funding for it. Any other input on the this request?
Last comment. If you don't mind. It seems like that, you know, this is not an additional ask. This is within the police department's budget, and I think that the benefit to the community far outweighs that. And I think that the $14,000 of annual training would be, like says, a high number and kind of putting the cart before the horse. But I think that between the Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs would contribute to that. I know Wrangell just had
a big drug bust that it might have been beneficial to have a dog there. So anyway, I'll stand in my support for the dog in the police department and being proactive on the on drug enforcement in our community.
Is there any other input?
Yeah, I'll do one more thing. Yeah, I appreciate the clarification on the timing, especially I had forgotten about the vehicle motor pool replacement. And drugs do a lot of damage. Tremendous amount of damage. There's probably no one in this room has not been affected by it. So actually, I will be in support of this.
Member Schwartz.
Yeah, I'm listening to everybody carefully, and I can see both sides conflicted, like Mark. But over the decades, I got real tired of going to funerals. Really tired of it. So that's my input.
Okay, if there's no other input from some...
It's just an observation. So I'm in favor of having a drug animal. What I'm not afraid, not in favor of is a way out of balance budget. So we had to use reserves last year. It's going to be similar this year unless we find ways to cut things in some places. I'm real concerned until we have an approved budget for this upcoming year about agreeing to anything. That's my biggest challenge. It's not about the dog. It's all about timing. How many people am I going to have to lay off? How many department hours am I going to have to? And I can't answer that right now. I just know that we went in last year having to use reserves, and this year it's going to be the same, if not worse. The school, I believe, wants more money. I don't know where to get it. Anyway, so it's me being afraid, I guess, in some ways. I don't know how to balance the budget. And so it's not about the dog. It's really about anything involved with it. We haven't given department heads raises in a couple of years. We're obligated by union contracts. The employees are going to get 2.5% increase, so our costs are going to go up. We have inflation coming on a lot of what we buy. Anyway, that's my concern. It's really more about timing than it is anything.
Okay, thank you for your input. Member Newman.
We have a lot of valid concerns here, and I just wonder if maybe we should delay a decision on this until after the budget.
You know, I'll ask the clerk for clarification. If we vote no, that doesn't mean this can't be brought back up later in the budget cycle, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, for instance, just use an example, if Secure Rural Schools comes through, that'll help. But that's is that a two-year funding thing generally? I mean, has it in the past been for 2 years?
To answer your question, we don't know. I mean, before it was a three-year
I knew it was numerous
thing. But we've had them do it just 1 year at times. Okay, so it's all over the board.
But to clarify the point, yes, you can bring something up again if it fails. It's not dead on arrival. Just as a matter of clarity.
So if we've had some valid concerns and some good discussion over this, and I think it would be a good idea, but I'm kind of like on the manager's concerns, how are we going to come up with the money in perpetuity? So there's no other comments, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
No.
Bob?
No.
Rob?
No.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, for the time being, the request for a Petersburg Police Department K-9 unit fails with a 4-2 vote. And hopefully the financial situation turns around. Okay, item E under new business, appointment of Rebecca Regula to the position of Borough Clerk Human Resource Director. Manager Giesbeck requests permission to promote Becky Regula to the position of Borough Clerk Human Resource Director effective April 1st, 2025 at an annual base salary of $85,000. If approved, Manager Giesbeck intends to advertise for the Human Resources Officer / Deputy Clerk position vacated by Becky at an annual base salary of $65,000 to begin April 1st, 2025. Clerk Thompson is retiring, if we let her, with her last day of work, April 30th. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this request.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton-Gregor, seconded by Member Newman. Any discussion? Should be a slam dunk, I would think. Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Bob. So.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
It wasn't just me, it's something the acoustics in it.
Scott.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, congratulations, and got a couple more months out of Debbie anyway. Communications, they're listed today on today's agenda. We've received some communications, and as every meeting, we don't make a habit of reading the communications sent to us, so it's there for your viewing if you'd like to see it. Item 17, assembly discussion items. Assembly member comments. Any members have comments today? Member Lynn.
Thank you. I want to talk about our the hospital, and I thought that the work session we had with the hospital went really well. I thought Phil had done a really good job of laying it out. Obviously, in some cases, there's not a lot of answers to it. But I also had a chance last week to set in with our audit, and there was a couple things that really came out of that audit that I was very pleased with. The amount of money cash on hand that they have has increased, so that they have well now over, I think it's about 105 days of operating cash on hand to operate the hospital, which is an improvement from previous years. And Phil talked a little bit about Medicaid, Medicare, and the reimbursements and the paybacks. So I was pleased to hear, to see that all occur. That puts them in a very good, their operating margin is very good in my opinion. In addition to that, there was a couple recommendations out of from the auditor to take a look at certain things. One of them was is that there is really no procedures in place to deal with the kind of funding, the grant funding that came in for the hospital. So under the audit, it was the recommendation. They had a good audit, but there was a recommendation there that they go back and write policy and procedures to be able to deal with the grants that we received, particularly for the type of thing that we're now into. And they're already, then there was some discussion on that, they've already developed some policies or beginning to develop some policies along those lines. The other one that they talked about was the procedures related to some of the financial transactions under Medicaid and Medicare that, without getting it really complicated, apparently there's been enough changes nationally that the policies we have in place need to be revised some. So the recommendation came back from the auditing group to be able to do that, and that's already in place. And overall, it was a good audit they had, and looking forward. And as part of that audit, they've come where all the work that's been done on the works building and so forth is under budget and on time. So I think that's a pretty good kudos for them to, as far as I'm concerned. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any other assembly members have comments today? Seeing none, are there any recognitions by assembly members?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just have one. Congratulations to Carrie Case. Right at the last meeting we had when she made her presentation, that day she was selected as district ranger for Petersburg. So congratulations, Carrie Case. You have to put that in perspective of the employees. I think there are 600 district rangers in the United States. She's now one of them out of all the employees they have. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to recognize Aaron Hankins and all of the people from Fire and EMS for the jobs they do for our community. They've been busier than we'd like them to be lately. Tragedy doesn't have any sense of timing. Without our strong volunteer group, we would not be able to get the services we have. So a huge thank you to those volunteers, and a request to the community to get a hold of Aaron or someone in those departments, if you feel like volunteering. Those are services you don't need them until you need them. And when you do need them, you really do. So so thank you, and a request from the community to consider volunteering. Thanks.
Okay, any other recognitions? Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.